time. Somebody's running out of time.
Not too far from here.
Somebody's got nowhere else to go. Somebody needs a little hope.
Not too far from me.
And I may not know their name, but I'm praying just the same that you'll use me, Lord, to wipe away a tear. 'Cause somebody's crying not too far from me. Somebody's troubled and confused. Somebody's got nothing left to lose.
Not too far from here.
Somebody's forgotten how to trust. Somebody's dying for love.
Not too far from here.
It may be a stranger's face, but I'm praying for your grace
to move in me and take away the fear.
'Cause somebody's hurting
not too far from here.
Help me, Lord, not to turn away from pain.
Help me not to rest while those around me weep. Give me your strength and compassion when somebody finds the road of life too steep.
Now I'm letting down my guard and I'm opening my heart.
Help me speak your love to every needful ear.
'Cause somebody's waiting
not too far from here.
And somebody's waiting
not too far from here.
Amen. Thank you, ladies. What an appropriate song for this day. I want to say before I get into the message this morning that I have a very similar testimony as far as the bus ministry that Pastor David has. When I was a child, I was introduced to church and the bus ministry. Had a bus come by and pick me and my older brother and sister, Wayne and Jane, twins, picked us up, took us to church. Probably a dozen times we had some seeds planted. I did not make a profession of faith. But I'll tell you this, when God began to deal with my heart, when the Spirit of God began to convict me, my heart and my mind went back to those times, and I'm just 100% sure that God used that time in my life to bring me not only to the place of salvation, but to where I am today. And so I am eternally grateful for the bus ministry and for those who work in the bus ministry. I have a heavy burden on my heart this morning, and it's going to be hard to get the message, but I'm going to preach it with the help of the Lord. I look across our congregation, and I see many young people, and I love young people. I'm very grateful for children and young folks, and I realize that if something doesn't happen, that these young people don't have a chance. And so I want you to please give me your undivided attention. And I want to talk to you about a vision, about a hope, about something that only God can do, but I'm glad I serve a God that can do it.
Amen.
It's going to take the power of God. The answer's not in the White House. The answer's not in self-help programs and religion. The answer's in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of God, and a praying church.
Amen.
Brethren, I believe that we can make a difference in the community which God has planted this church in. We are making a difference, but I believe God would have us to make even a greater difference. I believe that with all of my heart. God has led me to the scripture that Pastor David read in your hearing. It's a very familiar passage of scripture. It's a scripture that talks about many things. It talks about the power of God. It's got a little bit of politics in it. It's got some warring, and it's got prayer. It has a lot of things in it, but I have reached in with the help of God, and I've chosen out a few things that I'd like to bring to your attention this morning. I want you to notice in the Word of God that there's a man, a prophet, a man of God by the name of Elisha. What a man of God he was. He knew how to get hold of the God of heaven. To bring it into our terms, to make it in the language and put it in the vernacular that our young people could understand, he was Bluetooth to God. Amen. He was hooked up. He was hooked up to heaven. Would to God that we could get some people hooked up to heaven. Would to God that we would get some people that had a burden for the next generation like this man. Chapter 6 of the book of 2 Kings begins with a phrase that says, "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha." You see, if you'll study your Bible, you'll find where there was a man by the name of Samuel. This young man at a young age was carried to the house of God by his mother, and he was given to the ministry of Jesus Christ and to the children of Israel and the people of God, promoting God, the God of Israel, the one true and living God. This man began what we believe and what we know as now the school of the prophets and the sons of the prophets, and they began to grow, but over time they lost through a lot of outside influence and the Israel going away from God. But there was another man that God raised up in 1 Kings by the name of Elijah. Elijah in some ways revived the sons of the prophets, and they began to grow and they began to learn and they began to plant satellite learning areas where they could teach these young men about the ministry and how to serve God with their life and how to make a difference in their generation. And now we find where Elijah has gone up in the whirlwind, and we find where he has left the mantle, and Elisha took up the mantle. And when Elijah said, "What shall I give unto thee?" he said, "I want a second portion. I want a double helping of what you got." Amen. I want what you have. I want a double portion of thy spirit. And God blessed him abundantly. And Elisha took up that mantle, and we find where he spent valuable time with the sons of the prophets. The Bible says in this particular instance, in 2 Kings chapter 6, you'll find where it began to grow in this particular area in verse number 1, to where they came to Elisha, and they said, "Behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. It's too small. We've grown out of our quarters." And they said, "You know what? We're not asking you to do something for us. We're just asking you to give us the green light, and we'll go and we'll fell some trees and we'll put up some beams and we'll build us a place so we can expand and grow." I like that attitude. Young people, y'all will learn from that. Amen. Thank God for young people who are not saying, "Do it for us. Just guide us as we do it." And brethren, I believe that there is a generation of young people who really want that. They're looking for some guidance. They're looking for some people in our generation that'll show them the way. And here was a man of God, who said, "I will show you the way." But I want you to notice something else that I find very, very interesting about Elisha. The Bible says in verse number 2, "Let us go, we pray," of chapter 6, "unto Jordan, take thence every man a beam, and let us make unto us a place there where we may dwell." And he answered Elisha now. He said, "Go ye." And one said, "Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants." And he answered, "I will go." You know, I thank God for a man who said, "I will invest in spending time with you." Now, here's a man who had a lot going on. You don't have to do a whole lot of reading into the Word of God around the ministry of Elisha, and you'll find he had a whole lot going on. But he didn't have too much going on to invest in the next generation. And when I began to read this, God began to prick me in my heart. And God began to speak to me and say, that's where you need to increase, son. This is where you need to pick it up. You need to get more involved. Now, we're very involved in our young people here, but I don't think you could ever be involved enough. Never enough. And so I want to talk to you about some things that takes place here. So they go and they began, and you know about the axe head going to the river, and how that God allowed it. When Elisha threw the stick in, he allowed the axe head to flow. You say, "Well, preacher, that's impossible." Well, it is with man, but all things are possible with God. So that's what our next generation needs to know. Our next generation needs to know, with man, these things are impossible. But with God, nothing is impossible. You're looking at a man that believes that God can do anything that he chooses to do. You say describe and define anything, anything, anything. God can do anything He chooses to do. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. Amen. And we need to not only teach it, but we need to live it before this young generation that's coming up behind us. And so then we find when this miracle took place, the Bible goes to a very familiar happening. In chapter number 6 and verse number 8, the Bible says that the king of Syria warred against Israel. Now, if you'll hold your place here just for a moment and go back to chapter 5, something very, very interesting takes place. See, Elisha obviously was always investing in the next generation. In the next generation. In chapter number 5, there's a man by the name of Naaman. Now, many of you know the story of Naaman. But do you know that here was a man who was the captain of the host of the army of the Syrians? The very people that said, we're going to go to war with Israel. Here was the captain. And they had taken some people in Israel, in particular, it appears, some young people. Notice what the Bible says in chapter 5 of 2 Kings, verse number 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought out away captains out of the land of Israel. Watch this. A little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. So here's a little maid. Here's a young maid. Here's a young woman. And this man who was making a difference to the next generation had got her attention. How much, preacher? How much had this man impacted this young lady? Watch what she says. She says in verse number 3, she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria. He would recover him from his leprosy. You know what she's saying? The man of God can get the job done. Amen. She said, I believe in the God of Elisha. I believe that there's nothing that the God of Elisha can't do. You know, we need to be making that kind of impact, don't we? We do. We need to be making that kind of impact. Now, that did not come by little talks that Elisha had with him. That came from Elisha living a life of dedication and faith before the next generation. So you fast forward. Now, here's the captain now, the army of Syria. You know how that God washed him clean, how he got converted. And it was all because of the testimony of this young maiden who had a great confidence in the God of Elisha. And now here they come. They're going to go to war against them. Did you get the backdrop of our story today as Pastor David was reading in your hearing? So in verse number 8, the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel of his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. In other words, we're going to attack the borders here. This is what we're going to do. We're going to break down Israel. We're going to go in at some vulnerable areas at strategic times. We're going to attack the people of God. Now, immediately when I read that, my wheels began to turn. I thought, wow, how relevant to the day in which we live. And I'll get to that in just a moment. But something was going on. There was a man of God who was telling the king of Israel, in verse number 9, the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not that place, or a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to that place, which the man of God told him in verse number 10, and warned him of, and saved himself there not once or twice. In other words, many times, this counsel that was coming from the man of God, Elisha, was followed, and it saved the armies of Israel. Now, I want to tell you something. This is not in my notes and part of the message this morning, but I'm going to make it a part because I want you to listen very carefully. The man of God many times is sent to warn people. He's sent to warn. And he's sent to tell you where the pitfalls are. He's sent to tell you where the enemy's camped out. He's sent to tell you some things that you ought to abstain from and stay away from. You say, well, now, preacher, I'm not going to listen. Could you imagine had the king of Israel not listened? They would have been overtaken. They would have been destroyed. I find it interesting that the king of Israel would listen when the man of God warned him about the danger of Syria, but would not listen when the man of God reminded him and warned him of the danger of sin. Read it. Jehoram would not listen to Elisha, and it cost him. Why? Because Jehoram was the son of Ahab and Jezebel. And he was trained to have a deaf ear to the word of God and the man of God. And it cost him. It cost him. I'm amazed at how many people are like Jehoram, who will do what they need to do to save their life, but will not do anything to save their soul. They will do anything they need to do to save their life from death, but not their soul from hell. Listen to me this morning. The word of God says over and over and over and over again how important it is that a man get to God. Brethren, the only hope for your life, my life, these young people's lives, any life, is to know God in a personal way. Man is born separated from God at enmity with God. Man is born a sinner. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so that's the backdrop here. The backdrop is we have a king who is plotting war, but we have a prophet who is telling the king of Israel, this is what's going to happen, this is what's going to happen, this is what's going to happen. You know what the king of Syria thought? He thought he had a traitor in the camp. Look, if you would, in verse number 10. The king of Israel sent him to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once but twice. Verse 11 says, therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore afraid for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, will you show me which of us is for the king of Israel? He said, hey, there's somebody in our camp that's pulling a Benedict Arnold. They're betraying. They're a traitor. They're telling. They're leaking information. And the scripture says in verse number 12, and one of his servants said, none, my lord. There's none of us that are betraying you. There's none of us that are a traitor. He said, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the word that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. You say, preacher, how can that happen? God. You say, now wait a minute, pastor. Wait a minute. Are you telling me that you believe that there was this prophet who God revealed what was happening in the closed quarters of the king's bedchamber? That's exactly what I'm telling you. That's exactly what happened. God revealed to Elisha what was going on. You know, I'm glad for people who can see what other people can't see. I'm glad for people who can hear what not everyone can hear and can do what not everyone can do. People of faith, people of prayer, live in a different level. You understand that, right? You understand that. You say, preacher, I live by what I see. I feel sorry for you. I do. I want you to listen to something. If all that man did was live by what he saw, what a terrible way to live life. Look around you. You like what you're seeing? Do you like what you're seeing? Did you know, and listen, I'm not going to give you the statistics, but I just want to just prod your mind a little bit. It is staggering. It is staggering the amount of drugs that are being used by our young people. It's staggering. The amount of consumption of alcohol. There are children that now have begun to drink at the ages of 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. It is amazing at how young our children now that are getting involved in illicit sex, violence, gangs, killing, murder. You say children? Children. Not just in America, brethren, around the world. And what's not being influenced by these evil things. Notice what the Bible said here in chapter number 6 and verse number 8. He said, then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants. It's almost as if the very thing that this king was doing, there is a king of another world that is doing today. Now listen to me. We have an enemy. You say, preacher, who is our enemy? You say, well, Russia's our enemy. Oh, listen, don't fool yourself. Listen, you say, well, Iran's our enemy. You think that's the greatest enemy we have? There is an unseen enemy. that flesh and blood cannot see or touch. We have an enemy that's the enemy more of the body. He's the enemy of the soul. And he's real. You say, I don't believe he's real. He's got you. He's already won you. And now he'll treat you and drag you around by, listen, like a person being dragged around with a ring in their nose. His name is Satan, Lucifer, Diabolus, the adversary, the old dragon. He's real. He's very real. The Bible says, Jesus said of him that he is a thief, and he cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. John 10:10. He said in John 8:44 that he is a murderer and a liar. I'm talking to you about the enemy who is real. Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The enemy. And he's very real. Listen, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10 and verses 3 and 4, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. There's an enemy. There is an enemy. And he's coming after our children. He's coming after our homes, our marriages, our churches, our families. And it's evident today. There is shipwreck everywhere. Listen, if you are involved in the lives of others, you see it on every hand. Divorce rates climbing, teen pregnancy. Listen, unwed mothers, these things are climbing while our churches are shutting down. Why? There's an enemy. There's an enemy. And he's very real. He's very real. What drugs don't get? Alcohol, gangs, and violence. There's a group of people who do the unconscionable. Listen, my mind can't wrap around somebody that would harm a little child. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. I look across our congregation, and I don't know everyone sitting in here. I have no way of knowing everyone that sits in here. But I believe for the most part there's good people sitting in this building this morning. But don't you for one moment fool yourself into thinking that mainstream America or any place is like most people sitting in this building this morning. There are people that are trafficking children. You say, oh, now, preacher, listen to me, it's real. They're selling them. They're abusing them. They're abducting them. It's real. It's real. So what the street hadn't gotten and strung out on drugs and alcohol and gangs and violence, there's a group of people that are abducting, abusing, selling, trafficking our children. Did you know that I am told, and I read some information on this, that our young people are the target now, the number one target of mainstream media. Not middle-aged people. Not marriage couples. Not the elderly. Our young people. I have read where MTV spends over $1 million for a 5-minute video that pumps out rotten, vile, wicked music that is laced with imagery and effects that attracts the mind of the young person. The social media, the Instagram, and all of these things that are attracting young people, teaching our young, the movies that are teaching illicit sex, adultery, homosexuality. It's real. It's real. What's the church doing? While the king in verse number 8 is plotting and taking counsel, saying that we're going to attack in this place and this place and this place and this place, and it's happening today spiritually. Listen to me. It's happening today spiritually. What are you doing? You know what I hear most folks doing? Listen, I'm not here to beat up on you. I'm here to remind you that as Christians, we have a responsibility. What are we going to do? Well, even if you're not a Christian and you're a good moral person, we have a responsibility, but God knows as Christians, we have a responsibility to the next generation. What are you doing? You say, well, preacher, I put a dollar in Sunday school today. Yeah, and the world spent $1 million to reach our next generation. This is not about money. Don't misunderstand me. It's not all about money. How much time? You can't throw money at a problem and expect it to be corrected. You cannot do that. We must be like Elisha and get involved in the lives of those in the next generation. It's one thing to sit around and complain and say, just look at this lazy, trifling, no count, no good generation coming up behind us. But I'll tell you what they need. They don't need that. Yes, it may be so for some of them, but that's not what they need. What they need is a group of people who will reach out to them, connect with them, love them, have compassion on them, and say, I am willing to spend some time and invest in your life to make a difference. That's what they need. That's what they need. Can I ask you something? While, look again at verse number 8, while the king of the underworld, and I'm making a metaphoric play on that scripture there, while the king of the underworld has called council together and say, we're going to attack in this area, in this area. We're going to get in the schools and teach them that they come from monkeys. What person that believes they came from a monkey would have any hope in life? Come on now. If you really believe you came from a monkey, what kind of hope would you really have in life? And yet they're teaching it in every school system of America. Brother, I'm telling you, if the Church of Jesus Christ doesn't wake up, this next generation doesn't have a chance. Not a chance. But I'm here to tell you that this pastor, and I believe this congregation of people, I'm calling on you this morning to say, you know what? I am going to get more involved in the lives of the next generation. We have Sunday school. We have children's church. We have children's ministers. We have Patch the Pirate clubs. We have bus ministry. We have youth camp. We have junior camp. We have youth conference. We have father-son outings. Get involved. Get involved. You say, oh, preacher, I'd rather just sit around and talk about how sorry they are. What's that going to do for them? Now somebody say amen. What's that going to do for them? That's a cop-out. That's the easy thing to do, is just sit around and point out all their failures and their faults. Hey, can I ask you a question? Did you have any when you were young? You say, well, preacher, they're not the sharpest knife in the drawer. How sharp were you in the drawer when you were their age? Come on. Amen. You say, well, old me. Okay, old me. We've got to quit complaining and murmuring and pointing out the fault and get up and do something about it. Can I ask you something? Listen, I'm just asking you some serious questions here. How much time did you spend in prayer for the next generation this week? We just came through a 7-day week. Today's the first day of the week. We're getting ready to start another one. Well, actually, we have started. How much time did you spend praying for the next generation? Did you pray for the juniors? Sunday school class this past week? What about the junior high? What about that third grade class? What does it say precious up here this morning? Second graders? You say, preacher, I hope they do well. Are you praying for them? Are you investing in their life? Do you know their name? Do they know who you are? Have you gone up to them? Are you one of those that right when the last amen, pew, you're out of here and say, well, I've done my duty. Hey, listen, that's not going to change the next generation. I plead with you. I put out a call to you. Get involved in some young person's or some young people's lives. Make a difference. You say, preacher, I can't make a difference. Yes, you can too. Yes, you can. How am I going to do that, preacher? Well, let's see how this man did, and then we'll close, all right? Listen, I had written down all kinds of things. When I read these things, if I'm not careful, I'll read these things, and I'll say, oh, my God in heaven, what in the world has gotten into people? There are monsters out there that are doing things that I can't mention today because we have our children in the service. disturbs me greatly. It lets me know that the devils of hell are at war. What are we doing? Well, I got a new Xbox, preacher. Really? Really? You played an extra 2 hours of Xbox, and that's going to help change the next generation. God have mercy on us. Well, I watched a good movie this week. Listen, I'm not saying that playing a video game or watching a movie is wrong if it's the right kind of game and movie. But what I am saying is somebody has got to set aside some time and get involved in the next generation's lives. You say, well, I hope somebody does, preacher. Will it be you? Volunteer. Get involved through your local church. Make a difference in someone's lives. Can I tell you that it's the vision of this preacher to start a Christian school here so we can train up young servants of Jesus Christ? That's my vision. That's my vision. I want to train young servants for Jesus Christ. I'd like to have 5, 6, 7 buses running. You say, preacher, it can't be done. Not with that mentality, but with God, all things are possible. I'd like to build a youth center where we can bring out the young people in the community. You say, are the Christian young people? No. Any young person that wants to come, we'll have a ball tournament and we'll preach the gospel to you. We're already doing it at the Madison School. When we build and when God allows us to build, we'll do it here by the grace of God. Get them in, tell them the gospel, invest in their lives, spend some time with them, let them know you care, and God can do something in their lives. But as long as we sit in the church and say, I tell you right now, that generation is going to hell. You better believe they are. And in case we get involved, they're going to wind up there. They're going to wind up in the back alley somewhere, strung out with needle marks in their arms, white powder in their nose. Listen to me. It's real. So, well, preacher, I wish it wasn't so. I wish it wasn't too. But sin is real. And we've got to do something to make a difference. So I don't have a lot of money. I didn't say you had to give a lot of money. If you've got money and you want to give, you ought to give. You ought to give to places that are helping young people. But give of your time. I'm afraid for our generation that we have gotten to the place. Listen, Washington, and you say, well, you know, they're watching you. Oh, whatever, I don't know. Listen, I don't want to sound arrogant here, but I don't care what Washington's watching. Okay, I don't. There's a God in heaven watching. He was watching in the king's bedchamber, and he's watching here this morning. And he knows what's in your heart, and he knows what's in my heart. Why should I care what Washington's watching? God's watching. That's what I'm concerned about. We can make a difference. We can make a difference. But we're going to have to get involved. We're going to have to set aside some time. We're going to have to make a concentrated effort. Have you prayed this week? Watch what this man does. Listen, the Bible says, after that, in verse number 12, after that one of his servants said, nobody's from our camp's telling, except Christian over there, said, old preacher, he's saying what's going on. He said, I want you to find out where he is and go fetch him. You know what that means, don't you? We're going to hang him by sundown. So, well, I think he's going to bring him in and feed him a nice meal and have a little talk with him. Yeah, you don't know much about the king of Syria, Ben-Hadad, okay? Study the scripture and you'll find out exactly what he was going to do when he got him. The scripture says that he went. Someone said he's in the latter part of verse 13. He's in Dothan. And he sent thither the horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. Now get the story here, okay? Don't miss this. So here's Elisha. And here's this young servant. You say, was he young, preacher? Well, I think the Bible says in verse 17, if you look at the latter part of it, the Bible says the Lord opened the eyes of not the man, the young man. The next generation needs their eyes open. And this young man got up early that morning. Look, if you would, in verse number 15. And when the servant of the man of God had risen up, was risen up early and gone forth, behold, a host can pass the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? In other words, what are we going to do? This is not looking good. I go outside and all around us is this big, fearsome Syrian army. We're sunk. And that sounds like a lot of young people that I talk to today. No hope. You wanna be stunned? Go home and Google the suicide rate for people under 20. It'll stun you. I thought about a lot of things when I was 17, 18, 19 years old, but killing myself was not one of them. Now, I probably had some people think about killing me, but I never thought about killing myself. The hopelessness that has set in on our country is astounding. You can't tell me that it doesn't have ties with what they're being taught in the system. That's for another time. So here's this young man. And he goes out and he looks and here's this visible army. And he says, we're done. We're sunk. You got the picture? And so he goes in and he says with fear. Look if you would in the latter part of verse 15. Alas, my master, how shall we do? What are we going to do? We're through. It's over. And Elisha said, oh my, you're right. God's dead and the church is finished and there's nothing we can do. Let's just eat grits and die. If you're going to die, you might as well eat grits. Somebody say amen right there. Right? Huh? You say, I don't eat grits. What's wrong with you? Hey, you know what Elijah done? He calmly looked at this young man and he said, don't sweat. Fear not. Don't be afraid. No doubt that young man looked at him and said, that guy's got something I don't have. You know what the next generation needs to see? They need to see a group of people that have something, or should I say someone, that they don't have. That man has a perspective. That woman has a perspective. Those folks have a perspective on life that I don't possess. I'd like to know more about that. What are we going to do, Master? Look what Elijah did. Thank God Elijah answered and said, fear not. Relax, son. Relax. Why? Elijah saw something he didn't see. Elijah was hooked in. Are you listening? Elisha was hooked up. God had revealed some things to Elisha. And God will reveal some things to us that we can pass on too if we'll position ourselves for that to happen. Say, preacher, I don't believe it. You'll never see what Elisha saw. Never. You know, it's amazing how that in our churches today, we're known more for what we don't believe than what we do. Oh, the enemy's he's gaining ground. You believe in miracles? I don't mean to embarrass Kelly, but see, there's a miracle. She got saved last week. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. I looked up here this morning, and there was old Logan up here leading music. I mean, he was doing some stuff I won't do. This man just got saved. That's a miracle. A miracle. When you got saved, that's a miracle. God still works miracles. By the way, the miracle of salvation is not the only miracle that God's working today. God's still answering prayer. God's still doing great and mighty things for those that ask Him. You know what He said here? Look if you would. He said, don't fear. Go through your Bible and just underline every time. Get your concordance out where it says, be not afraid or fear not. Over and over again, God tells us not to fear. And then the next thing He said in verse number 17, Elisha prayed. Here's the difference. Prayer. We're raising up a generation that knows nothing about prayer. Nothing. Work harder. I'm for hard work. But there's some things that hard work won't fix. You listen to the preacher now. I'm going to give more effort, preacher. I'm going to put a little more elbow grease in that. There's just some things a little more effort and elbow grease won't fix. We have got to get to praying, brethren. Praying's the answer. Praying. You want to see God do great, mighty things? We want to see God do the unexplainable. Pray. Elisha prayed. And he said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. See what? Look in the latter part of verse number 16. That there be more with us than that be with them. That young man looked up and he said, wow, I didn't see this before. Amen. Chariots of horses and fire, all around them. So I'll preach, I don't believe in that stuff. You don't believe you have angels encamped about you? The Bible says the angels of the Lord encamp about them that fear Him. Psalm 34:7. You don't believe it? You say, well, all the angels fell from heaven, preacher. They're all devils now. Just one third of them. That means there's two thirds left to help you out. They're ministering spirits. Amen. See, this is what our young generation don't understand. They think angels is a little trinket you set up on the... because there's so many people that have fallen into this trap. Well, I got me a little angel of hope. I'm going to put him in the window tonight. He's not in your window. That's an idol. The angels of God are encamped about us to minister to us, protect us, and to help us in life. The Bible teaches this. He said, open his eyes, Lord. And the Bible says that the Lord opened, in verse number 17, the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. What do you think that done for him? You think he was ready to run and hide under the sofa? I think he was out there saying, bring it on. Amen. Come on. Amen. There's just something about answered prayer in the presence of God that emboldens a man. Bring it. Right? Someone said communion with God produces confidence in God. And it does. I don't have time to go in. I want to close right there. I'm not going to go into the remainder of the story. But I would challenge you to read it. What's your message this morning, preacher? My message is that we have a next generation that needs us to invest in. You say, preacher, we can't change the world. God can. God can. You ought to read what God did with this army. It's something now. It's something. But I wanted to focus on this young man. He had his eyes closed to a lot of things he should have had his eyes open to, but it took a person from the generation ahead of him to get involved in his life that his eyes might be open, that he could see what he should see. And it's going to take that in our day too. It's going to take you and I in this generation to get involved in their lives. What have you done for the next generation? Complain? Throw off on them? Ignore them? Berate them. What they need is for you and I to invest in them. I pray that one day there'll be more children attending Fellowship Baptist Church than they are adults. You say, preacher, you can't mean that. I mean it with all of my heart. Can we make a difference in Madison County? I think we already are. But I think we can make a greater difference. How about you? Can we make a difference in Culpeper and Orange and Green, Albemarle and Fauquier County? I believe we can. I believe we can. But it's going to take the mentality. It's going to take a fighter's mentality. We've got to understand there's an enemy out there, and both barrels are aimed at our youth. They're coming after them. And somebody's got to pray hell off their back. I want to be one of those somebody. How about you? I mean this when I say it. If you would join your preacher this morning, whether you're a member of the church or whether you're a visitor of the church, you say, preacher, God reminded me of some things this morning. I could do more for the next generation. I want to get involved in mentoring or praying for or investing in the lives of the next generation. Could I ask you to stand? Now listen, if you don't stand, I'm not going to be your enemy. I'm not going to be your enemy. This is between you and God. This is not about me and you. I want God to see. He already sees what's in your heart. I want to do something. Now listen, God sees now. God sees. This is not about me. I'm not going to come to you and say, hey, I've seen you standing in the service. Can I count on you to do this in the youth? No, that's not what this is about. See, brethren, I mean what I said this morning. I'm very concerned. I'm very concerned about this generation that's behind me. I believe you are. But being concerned is just the first step. I've got to take that concern and put some action to it and get involved. Get involved. I try on a regular basis, and I see you doing it too. I try to go up to some of these young people and spend a little time with them. Is Caleb in our service this morning? Where's Caleb at that comes with, is he here today? What's his name? Corey. Where's Corey at? Is Corey here? Where's he at? Here comes my buddy. I met him for the first time last week. This young man got saved last week.
Amen.
I told Corey, I said, I want you to come with me. We went upstairs. I just talked with him a little bit. And God said, you need to pray for that young man. God laid on my heart to pray for this young man. I don't know what's going on in his life. I just know that he needs somebody to love him and care for him and let him know. We're here for you, buddy. Amen. I'm glad you got saved, Corey. God bless you. All the boys and girls back here, we care. We want to get involved in your lives. Say, preacher, what could come out of that? I don't know. Maybe a D.L. Moody. Might be the next D.L. Moody back there. Charles Spurgeon. Oh, preacher, it'll never happen. Not for you. Nothing happens good for people like that. You want to make a difference in people's lives? Believe that God can make a difference in their life. Would you bow your head with me? I shared a little simple story with you this morning. A little simple story that made a profound impact on my heart and life this week. I think one of the greatest things that could be said about me as a preacher or a pastor or a man of God is that that man cared about the next generation. He went out of his way. He allowed boats and cars and prisons to be up on the platform just so the children would come to Vacation Bible School. He invested. He was willing to put people to work. It's not about me, because God sent the people that done it. You think, how much of this you think I had to do with this? Very, very little. Little to nothing. It's men and women with vision and that are willing to put the talent they have to work and to use. How are you doing it for the next generation? When's the last time you bowed your knee and said, God, get hold of that junior class. God, those teens are leaving for camp Sunday night. They're leaving tonight, folks. Listen to me. God, there's 30 of them going. God, would you change their life? Would you call one of them to preach? Would you call some of them to the mission field? God, would you light a fire in their heart that the enemy cannot put out? It's real, brethren. It's real, but we've got to get busy praying. We've got to invest in their lives. All right, preacher, I think I'll just sit back in the old recliner and run them down and talk about how sorry they are. Nothing's going to get done. You're only going to drive the wedge deeper. While Christians are praying, I wonder if you're here as a believer now. You say, I know Jesus is my Savior. God spoke to my heart and I could do more. And by the help and grace of God, I'm going to do more for the next generation. And I want you to pray that I would not soon forget the purpose that God put in my heart this morning, preacher. Could I see your hand? God bless you. Yes. Yes, I see your hand. Once you raise it, you can put it right back down. God bless you. I didn't try to see every hand. I want you to be confirmed in your heart that God wants to use your life to make a difference in someone else's life. If you change one person's life, imagine what that could be. That one person might change the lives of 100,000 persons, and you would be directly attached to all that change. Is there someone here this morning that would say, preacher, the God that you spoke about, the God of Elisha, who is also the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I do not know Him. I do not know Him in a personal way. I have never received Him. I have never come to Him humbly and bowed before Him and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm yet in my sin, and I fear if I die in my sin, I'll go to hell, and I want you to pray for me. Could I see your hand this morning? Is there anyone? Just slip your hand up and then right back down. I just want to pray for you. I'll not come to you nor embarrass you. That's not why I'm here. I'm here to help you, not embarrass you. Anyone? God bless you, young lady. Sister Jennifer Broyles. Anyone else? Anyone else? God bless you, sir. God bless you. I fear if I died in my sin, I'd die in my sin and go to hell, and I want you to pray for me. While these are praying, if you're here this morning and you'd like to be saved in the grace of God, you'd like for somebody to take the Bible and take you to one of our prayer rooms and show you from the Bible how you can have forgiveness of sin through Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, just to look right up here at the preacher and say, "That's me, preacher. I want to be saved. I want to be saved." What about it? Anyone? You can look right up this way. We're going to close our service with prayer. Pastor David, as you pray, would you pray for those that lifted their hand today, that God spoke to their heart and they would like for God to keep fresh in their mind as a reminder of a commitment they made to get involved in the next generation. I know sometimes when I look around, and I don't think I'm any different, I see the enormity of the problem. And sometimes it makes me weak in my faith. And I'm sorry to God for that. The problem is huge. But I'm thankful for the times that God stops by my study, maybe gets in my vehicle with me, and reminds me, "Son, I'm bigger than the problem. I'm bigger than the problem. You gonna trust me? Do you trust me?" Reminds me of the story that I read about a young man who was walking the beach. There was an elderly man who saw him down, and every now and then he'd see him reach down and pick something up and throw it back and toward the ocean. And as they got closer, he realized he was picking up starfish and taking them and throwing them in the ocean. And that elderly man looked at that young man, and he said, "Son, what are you doing?" He said, "Well, these starfish get washed up on the shore, and I don't want to see them die, so I'm throwing them back in the ocean." He said, "Don't you realize that there are literally hundreds, if not thousands, strewn along this beach line? How could you possibly make a difference in their lives?" And he reached down, and he picked one up, and he threw it in the ocean. He said, "I just made a difference in that one." Maybe you'll make a difference just in one life. But one life matters. It does. So don't let the enormity of the problem block out the power of God. Amen. Pastor David?
Amen. I'm glad somebody made a difference in my life. Amen. I'm sure you are too. Amen. That was a good message, Pastor. Thank you. All right, we're going to get ready to do dismissal. We're going to have a couple announcements this morning. I do want to make a final announcement. Kelsey Coleman's graduation party is next Saturday after our Bible quiz. And so there's a sign-up sheet in the back. And if you're interested in being a part of that, please get signed up. Miss Angela says she's going to be taking that up tonight. And so they need to know how many to prepare for. So if you want to be a part of Kelsey's graduation please get signed up for that. And there's also some other things back there. Check out the back table with the sign-up sheets. We'll be having a Vacation Bible School meeting next Sunday night. I'll announce that next Sunday morning. But that's a great opportunity to get involved in what was preached this morning, making a difference in people's lives. And so please be praying for Vacation Bible School, and please be praying for us as we go to camp this week. We sure do appreciate your prayers. All right, we're going to get ready to dismiss. We're going to do dismissal just like we normally do it. Those of you that rode in on the buses, you do have your bus Olympics today, but in order to get some instructions for that, we're going to go ahead and dismiss to the buses. And so I'm going to ask first, those of you that help work on the buses, you can go ahead and go to your place as you normally do on Sundays. Those of you that worked on the buses or drive the buses, you can go ahead and get in your place. Amen. Green and orange been going back and forth. Watch Culpepper come in with the wind. Amen. We're going to find out. I'll bet you that much. We're going to know who won. But anyway, amen. I think Brother Troy and them are the reigning champions. I believe the orange bus won the bus Olympics last year. Is that correct? I believe Brother Troy had the trophy. They got a big old bus trophy. It's a big time. So, all right, if you rode in on the buses today, you can go ahead and be dismissed. Don't run. Walk, please. Walk and make your way to the bus that you rode in on today. All right, we're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to dismiss. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness, and thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be in church today. Lord, thank you for the challenge that we heard this morning. God, I pray that we would not soon forget. Lord, may we truly meditate upon what we've heard. And God, I pray that each of us would just do what you would have us to do to make a difference in the life of someone else, Lord, especially these young people. Lord, help us to set an example, God, before them that they might follow that would be pleasing to you. We love you. We thank you for all that you do for us. God, please continue to deal with the hearts of those that had their hands lifted this morning. And if there's anybody here that is not sure that they're saved and they're on their way to heaven, God, I pray they not leave this place in that condition. They get some help before they leave this place. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. And you are dismissed.